Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Jeff Smith here with another episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. We have our trusty friend, James Case, with us, co-host. And tonight we have a very special guest, Paul Diamond, who is a shaman from Peru, who's been gracious enough to give us his time and his love to discuss a topic that I doubt most people have heard or contemplated before, but we're going to take a shot at it. So before I jump in, I'd like you guys to say hello and just welcome.
Hi, Jeff. Good to see you. Glad to be here, Paul. So glad you're here. And for those who are listening or watching, Paul is actually coming to us from Peru. He's in Peru, I'm in Colorado, and Jeff's in California.
And isn't that cool that we can do that?
It is. Wonders of modern technology.
So a little bit of background to my question, and the topic would be regarding evolving into a higher level of consciousness and ultimately into another dimension as we finish up this incarnation, as we finish up this life, and the number of times that we have ventured here in this third dimension. Paul is an expert and quite a brilliant man with regard to the effects of psychedelic elements on the human mind, as well as just from the little time I've gotten to talk with him prior to our show tonight, well-versed in all types of religions, ceremonies, human practices from the dawn of time. And that's quite, I mean that sincerely, Paul. You've impressed me, which is not easy to do. And that may be my own ego speaking there, but I really appreciate the breadth and the depth of knowledge that you're bringing to our conversation. So thank you.
Thank you.
But the notion is there's a lot of literature in the ether right now with regard to this time that we're living in, the time in human history that we're living in, and probably getting close to the end of an epoch or the end of an age, as many people believe that we're at a place where humanity is given the opportunity to transition from a third dimension into a fourth dimension. But it's a completely, and I'm not an expert in this, and hopefully Paul will provide some expertise to us, but the notion is that in the fourth dimension, the idea is that what you think manifests almost immediately, and that your purity of mind has to be such that you would be in a state of love perpetually or continually. Otherwise, any fear-based energy that you're operating in would manifest immediately. And so the way I understand it, here in the third dimension, it sometimes could take years or decades to harbor a resentment, a bitterness, or a frustration, and that will eventually manifest into a cancer, a tumor, a divorce, some kind of a tragedy or travesty, because you've been thinking and thinking and pondering and pondering, and eventually these things manifest. And the same way on the positive side, it can take quite a lot longer to practice visualizations, to practice mindfulness, to get into meditation, to be able to manifest things here in this third dimension in a positive aspect. And the way, again, I understand the fourth dimension, it's more immediate. So could you provide a little bit of context there for me? And I don't mind if you completely disagree, that's fine, because Jim and I do this quite frequently, and we end up working it out. So I'm just interested on anything I've said.
I'm so sorry, Jeff. I lost you for nearly that entire question. You turned into a robot.
Interesting. Well, the question was, if we're working toward evolving from this third dimension, which you talked about before we started the recording, to the fourth dimension, one of the fundamental differences would be the time that it takes to manifest our thoughts and our beliefs. And in the fourth dimension, it's almost instant, so that we have to be very careful as we're moving toward the fourth dimension not to bring fear with us that would manifest negatively. Is that lucid enough of a question that you can work with?
A different view of the nature of dimensionality. But to a certain degree, I agree. Now, I agree in this sense that really the way the universe works is that, you know, when dimensionality spreads out, we're really given an opportunity to learn how to become creators. Now, if we are in a higher dimensional state, as you rightly suggest, thought, experience or manifestation follows immediately after desire or thought, because there's no separation across time. So the understanding from a shamanic perspective is really that time and space are given to us so that we can learn how to be effective creators, and that there's a very...
I love that.
Yeah, it's an important, you know, there's an important gap, a necessary gap between what you desire in your heart and what you think in your mind and how that actually manifests. Being in a three-dimensional and fourth-dimensional space gives us an opportunity to mistakes, to learn what we really want to create as opposed to what we just think we want to create, and to, you know, to become more mature and responsible creators, actually, ultimately. So time and space itself were given to us for that reason alone, I would suggest. Now, with regards to this transcending the dimensions that we find ourselves in, I think actually something else that's a bit more kind of subtle and a bit more important is what is really going on. And this is utilizing the model of a holonic and holographic universe. Holonic meaning, you know, a series of nested dimensions all settled into each other, not on a kind of a Jacob's ladder type situation, but more like the layers of an onion, where each dimension penetrates and interpenetrates every other dimension, includes every other dimension within it. So from my perspective, within the third dimension, within the physical body, we already have all of the other higher dimensions available to us. And from a shamanic perspective and through shamanic experience, we're able to penetrate, and not just shamanic experience, meditative experience, Kabbalistic experience, whatever. It enables us to actually, within the human body and on the earth plane, enter into every other dimension and every time that we wish to attain to, that there isn't any separation, that actually we are the vehicle, that we are the space in which reality manifests. We are the one consciousness in which all dimensionality manifests. And, you know, we're not really attaining to a higher consciousness. We're attaining to a full of consciousness, you know, attaining to a more, you know, engaged consciousness, let's say, or a fuller or more complete consciousness that isn't hierarchical in nature, and holographic in the sense that each and every part of any dimension, including our own, can be brought from the whole, but still includes the whole within it. You know, like a hologram, you smash up a hologram and each and every other piece of the hologram includes the entire image within it. But this is the nature of consciousness, I would suggest, that actually it's all contained within, it's all available within, and that there isn't some big transcendence that's going to happen to humanity as a whole, but that we all have to attain to that within ourselves in any moment.
So if you have referenced we're in the third dimension now, that would imply that we came from the second dimension, that came from the first dimension, So where were those dimensions, and what was the nature of those dimensions that we've either moved through or moved past, or do we still go back to them?
Yeah, well, of course, I mean, when we talk about dimensionality, what we're really talking about is the nature of freedom. You know, dimensionality is defined by degrees of freedom. In the first dimension, of course, you have no real degree of freedom. You can't move in any direction. You're at a single solitary point. In the second dimension, you can only move in two directions. Dimension, you can move in, so on and so on. So what we're really talking about is degrees of freedom, but we're not talking about it when we move into the interior of the being in a spatiation, because of course the nature of spatiality evolves in our experience. You know, this risk between the nature of inner experience and outer experience dissolved in entheogenic experience, one thing only. It's not a separate thing. It's not an inside and out. It's not subjective and objective. It's merely one subjective consciousness experiencing itself.
Wow.
And it's all contained within itself. You know, from a Taoist perspective, it starts out at this kind of, you know, or you know, in this field of chaos, there's just a field of vast potentiality. And that kind of explodes into a dualistic notion of reality, yin and dark, black and white, polarities. And from this dualistic perspective of reality, or this energy into two complementary forces, it then expands further into the four elements, or the five elements in the Chinese tradition, and from the five bands in eight into the 64 different potential types of energy that are of every dimension of experience according to. So it's always in a slight move singularity into expansion, into growth. It's our own Big Bang theory gives some indication that there was a singularity from that expanding universe, and you know that exists in the physical dimension but expanding in all dimensions.
So I'd like to jump in here a quick second if I could, because there are two words that you have not said that I'm curious about in your description, because I was, as we were talking and Jeff's question was posed, the thing that strikes me is that as the fields, the individual field's vibration increases, the frequency goes up, that in my own personal experience, that change in frequency moves you from largely, and I'm using the words that were here, and I may have them in the wrong context, but moves one from third dimension consciousness to the migration to the fourth dimension, meaning that idea of manifestation and the quickness of it, I actually experience that in a day-to-day basis, not consistently, because obviously my frequency isn't consistently nailed in there. But you were speaking in terms of consciousness. Yeah. Can you talk the difference between when you reference consciousness versus frequency or vibration?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's a really interesting question. You see, how is a consciousness embodied? According to my own studies and practices and experiences, I would say that consciousness is embodied via the energy body. If the energy body is weak and unbuilt, then consciousness is not particularly grounded into the body. It doesn't particularly have the medium in order to become so. Now, what happens when we increase the amount of energy in the body via Qigong or yogic practice, theogenic medicines, or via a variety of other techniques, is that energy increases in the body. It is in the body if there's enough energy. A fundamental kundalini complex, with which I view as a biological, physiological, neurological, energetic spiritual process. It's all of these things. When there's enough energy fed into the system to kickstart your own energy, then your own energy begins to flow through the acupuncture channels, through the meridians. And as it meets certain centers of constellated consciousness, it opens those centers up. And of course, you know, these centers have been known as the dantians in the Taoist tradition, been known as the chakras in the tantric and the yogic systems. And yeah, when energy rises, consciousness opens. This is the relationship. The more energy there is in the system, the more we can stabilize and open the energy body and the energy system, the more consciousness itself can stabilize, open, and flow freely within this, not necessarily an embodied force.
Okay.
Yeah, chew on that one for a day or two.
Yeah, but I love the thing that struck me is seeing it. It may not all be there yet, but hearing it, it just, I see it. I see what you're saying. It's mind blowing. I don't know. Yeah. And it needs to digest. But you put words to what I was looking for. Like I can see it, but I don't see how those dots connect. And now I see how those dots connect. That's really very cool.
Yeah. 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 In all of our retreats that we work with here, we're now the energy arts to go with the medicine. And it isn't just a kind of a filler to something to do in the daytime before you do the medicine. I consider it to be an absolutely intricate part of the process. So what I'm teaching now as a part of the medicine work that I do is the inner alchemists. And it's not because I'm Chinese. I'm not Chinese. I just found that it had the most efficient and accurate map of the inner energy body of human beings at large, and that when we clear and open the channels via those practices, when we enter into the medicine, we don't have such difficult or traumatic or uncomfortable experiences. And secondly, we are able to stabilize and embody the energies and levels of consciousness that are awoken via the medicine, because we've built the body that can contain it. We've built the energy system that can hold it. You don't come up and then come down again as you do in normal entheogenic or psychedelic experience. You know, it's virtually impossible for people to hold or maintain their entheogenic openings or experience nearly all to nearly the same baseline that they left, maybe a little bit higher, a little bit of a higher, but without sort of daily practice of working the energy body, working the energy channels, and doing it in a very particular way also, it's likely that you're not going to be able to hold it. But if you build the channels, then you can hold those levels of consciousness, you can maintain those levels of consciousness, and you can utilize them in daily life for the benefit of the beings around you.
And that is why, ladies and gentlemen of our listening audience, do your work. That's why you got to do your work.
We can't rely on the medicines to do it for us. You know, the medicine should be just another tool in our toolbox, you know, to go with our meditation practice, our mental based practices to bring about a quietescence and a relaxation of the mind, to work with our emotional break based practices to open, not to balance, and to, you know, work with our emotional body, to do physical work, to work on the physical level, to get the physical body healthy and, you know, strong for the work that we're doing. And, you know, yeah, really to be working on all of these different, every day, in every moment, bring ourselves, or we can use them in a very, very effective manner, and we can ground and utilize the lessons and experiences that they bring.
I just want to take a moment and sit with the word quietescence. I've never heard the word that I can think of, and it moved me. I just wanted to have a moment in that word.
Yeah, of course. We have Paul, such busy moments.
What would you suggest, Paul, to our listeners, some simple maybe even basic things they could do to begin to increase their frequency or their resonance. You mentioned beings around us, seeing beings or experiencing the beings around us. What would you suggest as ways that people could begin in their practice to experience that?
Yeah, I mean, I think firstly, intention is always key. Why do you want to experience these other beings? You know, is it really just to kind of say we've done it, or is it to have an opening in our experience of reality, or is it to actually do some particular type of work or some practice or something with the being that you're calling up? It's never particularly a good idea just to open for no good reason, just to kind of experience. It usually leads to trouble. All immature magicians start off like that, you know, meeting different beings, and then after a while realizing it's perhaps not the best, and you know that you should become a little bit more discriminatory about who you're calling up and who you're working with. But once you've established good intention, then of course there's a variety of different practices, not easy necessarily without the empty technology at large, make it much easier to enter into these states and conditions where we're able to, you know, make contact with other beings and other dimensions and things like this. But meditation practices, yogic practices, tantric practices, etc., can take us there. It does generally take quite a long time, though. It takes longer than it would do than the medicines. The medicines generally are over a course of a retreat, over the course of a single evening, whereas tantric practice, etc., can take 20 years, 30 years or something, you know, before we can really begin to own, dependent, of course, on the condition of the person, you know, seeking, on the karma of the person seeking, etc. But, you know, the world's mystical and magical traditions have got a great variety of practices, ranging from, you know, ascetic practices, fasting and flagellation type practices, you know, fakir type practices of, you know, body mutilation and fasting and whirling and singing and chanting and medicine. No, actually, humanity at large has been obsessed with altered states of consciousness and with other dimensions of reality and with other beings since day one. So we've actually built up an enormous repertoire of techniques and technologies for such experiences. But most people don't have the time or energy or intention to really put the energy or work in to experience those things for the most part. For money and for security and things like this don't really help. You know, the modern world isn't really necessarily very oriented towards that. So,
Well, one of the
it would seem to me then that it's a big choice. You know, when we talked about calling earlier, and different from calling. I mean, maybe not different, but this idea of third dimension to fourth dimension, to me, as we're talking, seems to have this idea of what, and Jeff and I, when we have conversation, what I constantly refer to as connection, is alignment, is that sense of being connected to the broader, to the larger mind, to the larger whatever that is, whatever it is for the individual, but so that experience of, you were talking directionality about first dimension, second dimension, third dimension. So fourth dimension then goes vertical, right? Fourth dimension is an expansion.
Dimension is time, don't forget. Fourth dimension is time. So really we're talking about fifth dimension activity. But really the moment you're in fifth dimension activity, you're automatically omnipresent and outside of time and space. So you're kind of everywhere. Where the moment you get into the fifth dimension, you lose your orientation in space and time. Space and time itself dissolves. So it doesn't really have a vertical axis in any way. A view is of a holonic and holographic view, where all dimensions are contained in this one, and it doesn't have a kind of up or down in that way. It's not a linear or vertical alignment. It's more of a, if it's anything, it's moving in in order to penetrate through to dimensions, but that isn't really clear either. After a while, this sense of inside and outside again is just dissolves. The dualistic vision of reality at large dissolves. So reality sees one thing only, one mind, one consciousness, one divinity, and that is experienced as self only, you know, yourself only.
Okay. That was, yeah, I've got to digest these things. Oh, wow.
So,
Jeff, did that, where has that taken your question?
Well, just going to go into another question. I was thinking when you were talking, Paul, about intention of why would somebody want to see the other beings. For me in my practice, since I have a space that I get to work out of 8-9 hours a day that I consider a mini sanctuary, and I'm already in a state of calm, content, meditation when people come in and see me, and I'm aware of the energy that they're bringing into the room. And many times when I do a particular form of therapy that we call eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, it involves taking people back to a trauma that they had, and we're recreating the scene, but they're getting to experience it at their present age rather than, say, 2 decades ago or whatever. But it's always fascinating to me, and in particular, if some of the perpetrators in their traumas are now passed on, we will ask them to give clarity of what their intentions were when they were harming the child. And they're always so apologetic in their state that they're in now. And they were saying, you know, I loved you, I cared for you. This wasn't the behavior I really wanted to flow in, but I couldn't control myself. And they're not making excuses, but the end state is you're lovable, you're acceptable, you're valuable. And that's then reprogramming the people that I'm working with in their present state so that they can believe that they're lovable, acceptable, whole. But where I'm going with this question is I can't help but be aware of all the energy that's in the room with me and the different entities that are there. And oftentimes, which ones want to really make an apology, say they're sorry, let the daughter, granddaughter, whatever, know that they're watching. They're still in our sphere of influence. They haven't gone anywhere. And so that, I guess that's one of the reasons why I was asking about other beings. But more specifically, even, say, higher level beings than ones that were just here, whatever that means. And I'm more referencing some of the work that Dr. Joe Dispenza has been doing, where he's talking about these giant 10-foot holographic beings that are showing up in his workshops doing physical healings of the attendees. And it's something I would like to invite into my practice, that they would show up and do some work on these folks that are beyond my ability as a practitioner to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think your work and your job is, you know, I mean, actually this was a fundamental, the shaman's job, the shaman's task was to do, you know, partly and similar things, you know, working with people's minds, people's emotional states, reprogramming them. And of course, taking it into the realms that you're describing, where we are, you know, other beings and other helpers, of course, as called within the shamanic tradition, to be of service to us in our work. And what that's always been the domain of the shaman. It's always been the domain of the shaman. And I would say very honestly that if you want to go into that realm, then it's necessary and useful to train, come and train, not necessarily with me, not necessarily in Peru, but the shamanic lineages, the shamanic trainings are of that nature. They're designed to create and to renew or reestablish your allies in other dimensions so that they can be called upon when necessary to come and do the types of what able to do individually or that have a whole team of spirit allies, and I wouldn't dream of going into the realms that I go into without having a very firm belief and a very firm relationship with those allies. I feel it's very necessary. I can rely on them to do things that I can't do individually. More wisdom, they have more ability, they can see into other dimensions that I'm not able to see into. And as long as I continue to build relationship with them, and then, you know, I can rely on them to be there when I call upon them. So that would be my advice.
That sounds like good advice.
Really good.
Yeah. Sorry, you know, of course, as you said earlier, you know, the unfortunate truth is they're not all good. You know, not all beings from all dimensions are good. We don't want to invite any random or discriminatory. We have to become very mature. We have to become, it is we're calling upon, and, you know, the safety mechanisms are traditionally associated with that particular being or that. It's the reason I've taken so many initiations. The initiations are the sort of fundamental protection. You don't just call up a spirit and ask it to possess you. You have an initiation into a particular lineage that means you can do these things safely and with care in a way that brings benefit to you and to the people that you're working with and doesn't have any negative sort of connotations.
Interesting.
Because lots of beings want, you know, they're going to want to turn up. The more high frequency energy there is in a room, the more energy there is in a room generally, the more be interested in taking part or stealing the energy or doing. There's plenty there. So, yeah, we work with them in a sensible and, you know, yeah, mature manner.
I like that. Very good. How are we on your timing, Sir Jeffrey?
Guess we're pretty darn close. We're about there. Yeah. What a marvelous, marvelous conversation we've had this afternoon. Again, thank you very, very, very much.
You're very welcome, Jeff. I've enjoyed it tremendously. Sorry about our problem. Earlier, perhaps when some of the material we covered, or move into new areas, we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. This has been an extraordinary conversation. Even unfortunately, some of it didn't get recorded, but we will get more later. But deeply appreciative of your time and energy, Paul, and always, Jeff, deeply appreciative of you that we get to do this and that we get to share this is pretty awesome.
Likewise, Jim. And just, I don't know if you've mentioned to Paul, but it is our intention to come down and spend a week with them or so, 10 days or so, and just trying to calendar that in that we could come down and learn.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. Yeah, please do.
And we'd love to be back. Well, let's go ahead and close this and then we can continue to talk for a minute afterwards. But thank you all for joining us. Paul, thank you for coming in from Peru. Even though you're still in Peru, I mean, another great dive. Looking forward to more opportunities, and thank you all for being out there to experience this with us. You can watch us if you go to our YouTube page at Adventures in Truth Podcast, and you can listen to us via our website and all of the major podcast outlets. Our website is www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. And you can see all the history of our 50 plus episodes, lots of amazing conversations. Deeply appreciative and grateful to you gentlemen. Thank you for being here and looking forward to the next time. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. We also offer video versions of our podcast. Visit our page on YouTube at Adventures in Truth Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Like, connect, and follow with us on Facebook. Want to book us for your next podcast or to speak at your event? Head over to our webpage at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com at the bottom of the page and send us a note. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you again at Adventures in Truth Podcast.